Oh, yeah.
Did you get the message from the same site?
Yes, I did. I went to Kyle's Facebook and I got this message. So Isaiah 9 and the same verse, number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Who remembers Mr. Kyle pointing that out in one of his messages?
Amen.
I thought that's where this message came from tonight. I thought he used an excellent illustration that government's on his shoulder and just can roll off. And it's one shoulder, not two shoulders. So with that, I went into the thoughts I had for a message. Stephen, could you open us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we could be gathered today. I thank you for just the fun that we just had. And I pray that we'd have ears to hear now what's going to be preached. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. So what came to my mind is he said that the government was on his shoulder and it rolled off, brought me to pebbles, stones, rocks, boulders. How many people have had a pebble in their stone and are lazy like myself, and you're walking along, you shake it around in your foot until you can get it to a spot that it's good, until you can find a chair and sit down? How much do we tolerate that? We just, I'll deal with it for a little bit. It'll get better. A stone is a little bit bigger. Stone, think of David. He picked up stones, smooth stones, to throw at Goliath. Something that's going to scuff your shoe. Something you might kick as you're shuffling through this parking lot. A rock's a little bit bigger. A little bit, it's probably going to stop you. You're not just going to scuff your shoe. You're probably going to break a toe, especially if you're wearing Crocs. A boulder, if you've been to Rock City Park, is a very big rock. They're boulders. They're going to hurt. You're either going to fall off them. They're going to roll on you. There's different sizes to those categories. Obviously, pebble, stone, rock, boulder. They come in different sizes. I'm going to tell a story of my dad. When we were at his house, we saw a little, as you're mowing a lawn, you could see a little bit of a stone. We just kept mowing over it, kept mowing over it, kept mowing over it. It was no big deal. Then it got a little bit bigger. We had a little bit bigger spot of rock showing. No big deal, we still could mow over it. No issues, no problems. The third time, you get that little grinding noise when you go over it with the mower. So how do you think we fix that problem? Raise the deck when you get right there. Go over it and come back down. Did we ever address the situation?
No.
My dad has coined the phrase Ford family fun night. And that's when we dig ditches or we dig up stones or we dig things up or we had work to do. And he would say, it's a bunch of fun, let's go out. So he one day decided, I'm going to get rid of that. I'm sick of lifting the deck up. I'm sick of dulling my blades, so we're going to do something about it. Well, what started as a spot that big that you could see from the surface ended being as big as this pulpit. By the time we dug that out, dug around it enough to put a chain on it, he had a farm all super C at the time, and we had to pull it out of the ground to get it out and then move it. That wasn't a pebble, was it?
No.
It wasn't a stone. It was a rock. It wasn't a boulder. But how many different steps did we take to avoid doing the final process? We would, if you want to say, just out of pure laziness, or we trained ourselves. Now, if we do this, we can get around that problem. If we do that, we can get around. We don't have to address it. It's not an issue yet. Starting out with the pebble, stone, rock, and boulder, and the story I just gave you, I'm going to compare those to sin. What sin is in your life that's just a pebble to you? It's not a big issue, you don't think, that you can kick your shoe around and get it in the right spot and deal with it, you forget about it. What's that sin that has become a stone in your life? You still don't want to address it. You still just want to keep figuring out a way to going around it. What's that sin that's a rock? Trips you up every time you hit it.
Uh-huh.
what's the boulder that you keep, you don't want to address, that will crush you? These are all different levels of sin. Again, the pebble, mildly irritating, but you can figure a way around it. The stone, again, will scuff your shoe, but you can figure a way around it. A rock, it's become a bigger issue, trips you up every once in a while. The boulder is going to crush you. Sin is real. Whether you're saved or you're unsaved, sin is real. And until you address it, nothing in your life is going to change. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. He'll point out those things in your life. You have the option of ignoring it, kicking it around in your shoe, walking around the rock, or completely going around the boulder, or you can address it and you can get right with God. It's, again, whether it was pure laziness or we trained ourselves, we could miss that rock as we mowed it. We can train ourselves to not talk about that sin that we know is there. We can avoid it, whether it's lying, whether it's bitterness, whether it's pride, whatever it is that God's saying, this is something I have against you. You need to deal with this. And we just keep kicking it into our shoe. We keep trying to avoid it. We don't want to deal with it. Let's look at a couple of things in sin in our Bibles. Go back to Genesis. Go to Genesis 3. I'm going to start in verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Obviously, we're talking about the first sin in history. They were told not to do something, and they did it. They fell for the lie. They didn't listen. It was serious. It was the fall of man happened over a fruit. All they had to do was say no to Satan, and they could have been fine. They could have kept going, but they allowed that pebble into their lives. They committed that first crime, that first sin. Go to stay right in Genesis 3, go to verses 6 and 7. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The sin has spread. It starts with one. If you don't get it corrected, it's going to add up to more. Again, how many times can we tolerate that first sin and not worry about it, not think it's a big issue, and just keep going forward? Genesis 3:11 through 13. And when he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said to the woman, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Adam's getting questioned on it. God is straightforward questioning Adam on it. He commits another sin. He lies. He passes it on down to the woman. He questions the woman, what she do? She lies, she passes it down to the serpent. None of them would take and own their sin. None of them said, I'm guilty. I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. They just kept passing it down.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Do we do that? A lot of times we get that sin pointed out to us, and it's easier to just blow it off, but if we don't fix that sin, it gets passed on down the line. We blame others instead of taking the blame for ourselves where it's rightfully at. Genesis 4, 8 through 10. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? It's now compounding. It's generational. If you care as parents to be raising your children right, you will be teaching them about sin. You will be teaching them about correcting the sin. Not just, oh, it's okay, you meant well. No, there needs to be correction done. That level of generation, or it'll get passed down. You're going to have generations of people that make excuses for sin, that will not deal with their sin. They're going to blow it off. They're going to blame somebody else. They're going to lie. They're going to add to their sin total, and they won't get it fixed. Go to Genesis 20, please. We're going to switch families. We've hit Adam and Eve long enough. We're going to go to chapter 20, verse 2. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. No matter the age, sin is still there. Sin is still present. Sin has never been wiped out. Christ came to forgive so that we can get forgiveness for our sin. But sin has never ended in this world. It started all the way back with Adam. It's in this generation. It's going to be in generations to come. Again, if you don't take care of it, you personally. So, obviously, the men, you got a little bit more character, a little more charge in this because you're to be leading your families. Make sure you're doing it the best you can. When God points something out that's in your family that's wrong, you need to address it. Don't let it go, because when it gets to that next generation, it's just going to keep compounding. It's just going to keep getting bigger. So you got a rock, so you get a boulder. Your only legacy you can leave is your walk with Christ. There's, you can have millions of dollars you leave people. They'll all probably be thankful to you. But you're not leaving them a spiritual pathway, a spiritual foundation, a stone. Let's go to Exodus 2. Exodus 2, 12 through 14. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him, that did the wrong. Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? This is Moses. We're obviously passed on to the next generation. This is Moses. My parents taught me from a wee little boy, doesn't matter what you do, somebody will see it. He looked this way, and he looked that way, and he thought he had got away with it. The next day, somebody's going, you're the one who did it. Even if you get away with the smallest thing or the biggest thing, you got a creator that saw it all.
That's right.
You can lie to the police, you can lie to your parents, you can lie to the principal, you can lie to whoever you want to lie to. You can lie to your pastor. Well, that wasn't me. I'm a righteous, holy man. You can do whatever you want to do. God's always watching. He's got a little tally book up there.
Amen.
And it's going to add up. And there's going to be a price to be paid. You're going to stand in front of him. You're going to give an account. So when that still small voice tells you, hey, I got a problem with the way you treated that person.
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't it be better to deal with it then?
Yes.
Than standing in front of him?
Hello.
I would say it'd be better to deal with it then. Just me saying, but that's all the verses for right now. But Mrs. Hain, we all think very highly of Mrs. Hain. Did you know she has a sin nature? I give her all the credit in the world for living with Pastor Hain, but she has a sin nature. As godly as a woman as she is, she has a sin nature. Her situation that she's going on, that she's going through right now, that the whole family's going through right now, could turn to sin in her life. It's all in how she handles it.
That's right.
It's all how she deals with it. If she can question God, you can ask God, why is this happening? That's not a sin. When you start blaming God for it, you've crossed that line. So all these days that she's been in that hospital bed, she could be every day going, this is your fault, God. This is your, she could be letting it turn into sin. But we know she doesn't. We also know that if she did, she would do the right thing to get rid of it. She would deal with it. She would take care of it. So if you have respect for Mrs. Hain, model your life after her. If you know she would take care of the sin, and God's telling you there's a sin, take care of it. Be like Mrs. Hain. What sin level are you at? Pebble, stone, rock, boulder? We all have sins. You can be the most godly person in the world, like we just talked about, and still have sin in your life. Not for me to judge, but for God to judge. What has he been working on you in your life, pointing out to you that you need to address this? I will say, judging others is one that he's always hitting me right in the chest with. I have to apologize to my kids time to time for talking in front of them about somebody, and we say, well, this goes no farther. As soon as I say that, God's going, you shouldn't have said it. It wasn't right for you to say this in front of your kids. Believe me, that's not my only rock or pebble, or I have many others. But I'll confess those to my priest on Monday. What sin level are you at? Are you going to address it, or are you just going to keep moving it around in your shoe? Are you just going to keep, I can deal with it? Or are you going to catch your toe? Whoops. Are you going to break that toe? Your sin will come to light.
That's right.
We talk about how if we had a screen up here and we could plug into your life and you would be humiliated. I would commit suicide right here if somebody had to see what my life was.
Uh-oh.
I'm not the only one. I'm just up here with a mic. There are situations God is dealing with you, and you need to address it. You cannot just keep moving it around in your shoe. You're going to trip over it. You're going to get crushed. So who can help you in all that? Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:13-22. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Afar off was you're lost. You weren't connected to Christ. You didn't have that connection. And to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Stone, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? He is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There's only one person that came and died on a cross, gave his life, went to hell for you, rose again, and is a mediator between God for your sins. It just talked about him. He's the chief cornerstone. Go to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, 6, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Is he precious?
Amen.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the building disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Christ is that cornerstone. He is that precious stone. Until you get that figured out and find out where you relate to him, that you're nothing. You're a speck. You're less than a pebble. And he still paid the price for you. 1 John 1:9. We're actually going to jump back to verse 8. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, that's what we've been talking about, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Has anybody heard what I've been saying and said, it's not me, I don't have a sin? The Word of God just told you, you do. You have a sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's for saved people. If you have a sin in your life and you see it, you confess it, he's faithful to give it, forgive it. Everybody wants to stop there. Let's go to verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, okay, that person is here that says, I'm good. I've not sinned yet. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. Don't ever get to that point where you think you're better than God. Don't ever get to that point where you think your sin isn't affecting you, that you can handle it, that you'll be all right with it. Now, if you're that person who's having a hard time bringing it to God, take verse 9 again and take off, if we. So it just starts out, confess our sins. Just do it. Have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus and confess your sins. That's all it takes. And he'll work with you. He'll show you. He'll show you other spots where you're falling down.
Oh, right.
If you just confess, take off if we, and just say, I'm going to get this taken care of. Just deal with it. Confess it. Take the pebble and get rid of it before it becomes a big boulder and it crushes you. We don't have a lot of time on this earth. Not a lot of time at all. And if you keep playing with these things, that boulder will crush you.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, the opportunity for these teens to be involved. We thank you for these teens. Pray that you would bless them. We just pray that you would help us as we finish your service up and that we'd be pleasing
joyful to you. We just thank